Praise God. Man, I'm so thankful for who He is. And just thankful that I don't have to try to shape God into be something that I want Him to be. I get to just read His Word and spend time with Him and discover who He is and accept Him for how He is and then be changed into His image. That's our goal. Amen. And not trying to make God be something I want Him to be. I just want Him to be Him. He's going to do it anyway. And I just want to worship Him as He is. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're in a series right now called Discover Jesus. And we are going through five different things. We're looking at the message of Jesus. We have looked at the mission of Jesus. And today we are going to spend the next couple weeks on His power, the power of Jesus that He demonstrated in His ministry. And hopefully, probably next week, I'd like to get into how do we access that power in our own lives. Most of us quickly recognize and understand that He is very powerful and His power is there, but now getting that power from where He's at to our lives, that can be the challenge, right? So we're going to talk about that. Jesus's life, among many things that it was a demonstration of God's power, right? He's coming and impossible things. You see people with crippled hands, and He just speaks a word, and the hand just come out and work right. People that are demon-possessed, that everybody's tried to help them. You know, they've been to counseling. They've been to psychiatrists. They've been on every medicine known to man, and they can't. And Jesus come up and just speak over them. The demon leave, and just healing come in their body. Blind eyes open, deaf ears. People raised from the dead, not just Jesus, but like Lazarus, for example. So His power was on display, the power of God coming in contact with the earthly realm. And so Jesus's life, one of the things that it wasn't just that, but it was a demonstration of God's power. Now, as you study the New Testament, what you find is it's even more amazing when you discover that Jesus did not do it as God. In that sense, because the book of Ephesians tells us that He laid down that power and He came as a man. Now, He didn't come, we've discussed this in other series, He didn't come in the way that you and I are a man because He didn't have a sinful nature. The type of man that He would most be equivalent to would have been Adam. Adam was in a sinless state without a sin nature when he was created. And so Jesus came in that way and He never sinned. And so He never had a sin nature. And so He walked in the fullness and in the power of God, but He did it as a man. And so it's even, when you understand that, that's even more powerful. But one of the other things we notice from Scripture, going all the way back to the Old Testament, is that we serve a God that really likes to demonstrate His power. And if you go back to the Old Testament, I mean, you can look through the way that God set His people free from the Egyptians and the power that He displayed in the 10 plagues when He parted the Red Sea. You know, there were other ways that He could do that, but He wanted His power to be on display. We serve a very powerful God. He's the only being in the universe that has this kind of power. There is no other God, false God, that has this kind of power. There's no other man-made thing that has the power that we're talking about here. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, God actually speaks this through Moses to Pharaoh, and He says, "But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." He doesn't even hide His intention. He says, "I'm doing this to demonstrate and show the power of God." Why? So that my name will be talked about and proclaimed in the whole earth. In other words, that power is going to cause man to stop and go, this being, this thing is way beyond where we're at, and the only thing I know to do is worship. The only thing I know to do is bow down and worship this being that has power like that. So first of all, what is power? All right, I'm not going to try to give it to you from a physics standpoint. I could give you the physics definition of what power is. I'm not going to go into that, but we instinctively know what power is. But for example, where would you look in all of the earth to try to find true power? Where do we have to look to discover something that is truly powerful, that causes us to stand and all go, wow, that was some power? The other, probably a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, we had some storms that were coming through, and me and my son were on the back porch of my house, and we were getting my generator ready because it was the storms that were coming. We had a pretty good idea that it was going to be knocking the power out of the house. And so we had, you know, getting a little generator ready so my wife could stay in comfort and everything. You know, I just had her in mind. And so we were getting the generator ready, and we were outside. The storm was coming in, and I've never been this close to a lightning strike in my life. We were standing out on the porch, and a lightning bolt hit. I mean, it had to be from here to the back of the room from us in the wood line of where our house is at. And I did not see the tree that it hit, but I saw the red coals fly and hit my roof and come off the roof and land literally at my feet. The coals from the tree that had just been incinerated by the power of that lightning bolt. And I don't know how many seconds I stood there frozen with my eyes like this and me and McKinley looking at each other, trying to comprehend what we had just experienced. Now, we've all seen lightning, but when lightning hits that close, it's a different experience. So that's a little idea of power, right? That just power that's beyond what we can comprehend. And you see a lightning strike, boom, and that happens. In Job chapter 38, verse 4, God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." In other words, he's telling Job, he's asking Job in a sarcastic way, he's basically telling him, you don't know anything. You weren't there when I made these processes. You weren't there when I created the earth and hung it on nothing, he says in one place. He said, this is all beyond you, right? Because I'm a God that has power, wisdom, knowledge, understanding that is very, very beyond what your finite mind can understand. So we've seen this kind of power on earth. For example, another type of power that we think about is nuclear power. And nuclear power has always fascinated me because, and not that I have a full grasp on it at all, but just the way my simple mind understands it, is that every atom is packed with tremendous power. And that by incinerating that atom instantly, that power is released, right? You think of a piece of firewood, and if you light a piece of firewood, that piece of firewood is packed with unspeakable, unbelievable power. But because it burns slowly, that power is released slowly over the period of maybe like 2 hours, right? That piece of wood is burning, and all that fire that you see is the power and the energy that is in the atoms of that wood, and it's being released very slowly, so it's not like an explosion. It's still powerful, but it's a slow release over a couple hours. Well, if all the energy that's in that piece of firewood could be released instantly, just that small five-pound piece of firewood, if it could be released instantly, it would release the power that was equivalent to a nuclear bomb, just in that small piece of firewood. If you don't trust me on that, just go read on it. You'll find it all. It's all, you can go Google it, you know, get AI to help you, but that's how it is, okay? But like I said, with the firewood, it's just that it's released slowly, incrementally. But if you could imagine all that power being released in just a second, we would get the explosion of a nuclear bomb. As a matter of fact, the largest and most powerful bomb that was ever detonated was the Soviet Tsar Bomba. It was tested on October 30th, 1961. Its explosive yield was about 50 megatons of TNT, making it thousands of times more powerful than the bomb that dropped on Hiroshima. Thousands of times more powerful than that. It was just a test, thank God. But that's the kind of power. But now, okay, human beings discovered this power, but they didn't create this power, right? They take something that God created in the atoms and matter, and we're going to get into a moment why all that power is packed into these atoms. But they discovered how to release that power instantly, and like humans do, they figured out a way to release it for damage and destruction and hurting and killing people, which I don't think that was the intention. But the power, I don't think that was God's intention. So now imagine if every ounce of the power that was released from that Soviet bomb, imagine if every ounce of that power that was released could be harnessed and could be controlled and directed and turned into energy, it would power the world's energy needs, every home, every city in the world. It would power the entire world for almost a single day. Okay, that all that power, of course, our energy needs are gigantic in the world. You know, you think about every city, Shanghai, all these huge cities, New York City, every city in the world, every home in the world, it would power all of the energy needs for almost an entire day, not quite an entire day. But now the sun, on the other hand, the sun produces 1.8 billion times this amount of power in just 1 second. So we're talking about things that are on Earth that shock us, right? Lightning bolt, nuclear bomb. Then we look in the sky and we see the sun, which is a giant, you know, nuclear reaction that's just happening all the time. And it produces in just one second, the amount of power is 1.8 billion times the largest nuclear bomb that we've ever set off. And if you could take just 1 second of the sun's power to power all of the Earth, it would power the Earth for 600,000 years. 1 second of power that is coming from the sun. Now, the sun, just kidding, it's not anything in there. The sun, as a little magic trick for y'all, that's the best I got. The sun is an average-sized star. It is not the largest, you know, of the stars that are out there. And the sun is, if we were to scale it to the size of this golf ball, the largest star that has ever been discovered is, it's called the Stevenson, let me see if I wrote this down here. Yeah, Stevenson 218 is the largest known star. And the largest known, the size of that star compared to this golf ball would be the size of this room. All right, so imagine how many of these golf balls you could fit in this room. Imagine how many suns you could fit inside this room and that amount of power that is out there in the universe. And your God created all of that. I mean, think about the size of the Earth in this scale. Think about how big the Earth would be compared to this golf ball. You wouldn't even be able to see it. You know, it'd be just so small you could barely see it from the distance you're sitting at. But your God created this. What's even more fascinating about that is how he created it. He just spoke it into existence. Our God said, let there be light. And there was a big bang, I'm sure, as we can tell. And there's still a lot of big bangs going on all over the universe. Because that's all the sun is, right? It's a bunch of big bangs happening inside. And we could get into this. I can get sidetracked on this stuff for hours, you know. So I'm not going to. I'll skip that part. But our God spoke that into existence just through his words. He said, let there be, and the universes and the galaxies were created. And our sun, we see it every day, rises. You know, we see it come and go. But the sun, as I said, it's just an average size star. And there are 400 billion such stars just in the Milky Way galaxy. Estimated 400 billion stars in just the Milky Way galaxy alone, and the observable universe at this point, they cannot reach the end of it, but at this point they estimate that there are over 1 trillion galaxies. This is a size and a power that our minds cannot comprehend. And everything that you will read today will suggest, as far as we can tell, the universe must be infinite, because we cannot reach the end of it. As our telescopes get bigger and more powerful and greater, we cannot see the end. We just discover more and more. And so that's why the estimates keep going up. Oh, well, there might be 10 billion galaxies out there, not even close. Oh, there might be 500 billion galaxies out there, still not even close. They keep going. Now they're saying over a trillion, maybe 2 trillion galaxies, with each one having 400 billion stars. I know, our brains are fried. At some point, numbers don't even mean anything. It's just, so let's just get back to the sun, because our minds can't even comprehend that level of power. But what I want you to understand is that your God spoke that into existence. Now, when I see something like a nuclear bomb or the piece of firewood that we were talking about, and I see an atom, something that, you know, a microscope, you got to have a microscope to see, a special microscope at that. And there's so much power that when that power is released, it can do the destruction of a nuclear bomb, and it doesn't take a lot of material to cause that. Right? Like I said, a piece of firewood, if it could be, it would do tremendous damage, and then the power release would be enormous. But what I hear when I read about that and I think about that, this is what I think. I think that when God spoke, there was power released, and all of that power is still present in every atom. I mean, when you get to the bottom of an atom and you see the power that is there, that is holding the whole thing together, okay, which we call, you know, we call gravity, it's holding everything together. Basically, gravity is a mysterious force. You know, that it's hard to understand. But anyway, sure, we give it names and things like that. But the point is that when God spoke, his power went out, and that power is still present throughout the entire universe in every single thing, in every living cell, in every tree, in every plant, in every human being. His power is still working from the very first moment that he spoke. As a matter of fact, they will tell you that, again, to everyone's best understanding, the universe is still expanding. That I read in studying for this sermon that there are parts of the universe that are expanding so fast, they are expanding faster than the speed of light, so that it cannot even actually be observed, because we don't have anything. It's outpaced us so fast, there's no way to observe it, that it's expanding faster than the speed of light. And that all began when God said, "Let there be light." And it's been obeying his voice ever since. As far as we know, galaxies, stars, all of these things are still being created from the original word that God spoke. So that's the kind of power of the God that we serve. And then we come to him and we're like, "Oh God, my back is hurting. Can you heal it?" Now, the question is not, can God heal your back? The question is not, can God heal your disease, your knee, your cancer, your marriage? That ought to be obvious that the power is there. That's not the issue. There's no power problem, right? Okay, so we're going to get into, in a few weeks, over the next couple weeks, how I believe Christians can access that power. But you have to understand that everything by God is through faith, and so we got to start here by building our faith. We got to start here by meditating on the kind of power that our God has. And the kind of, so when we talk about such minuscule things that we pray for, I just want you to understand, like, we're barely scratching a very, very small percentage of the power that is needed to accomplish that thing. The power that God has is infinite. It really is truly incomprehensible. Okay, so we serve a God that's full of that kind of power. Now, with all that in mind, I want us to read Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It's talking about Jesus. And it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." What this means is that it's talking about rank. It's not talking about that Jesus was the firstborn of all creation, meaning that he was created. We know from Scripture that Jesus is God, and he was not created in that sense, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are coexisting and they are infinite. But he's not the firstborn in that sense, but he's the firstborn as far as rank. He is preeminent, some translations say. So, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. That means he ranks above everything. Verse 16, for by him all things were created. Now, we're going back as what we were talking about with the stars and the universe and the galaxy and all the things that are out there, all the power. It says that by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This is Jesus. Notice it says visible and invisible. All I've been talking to you about thus far is the visible. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, things that we can observe and see. But did you know there's a whole other dimension that we don't know a whole lot about? This is the spiritual dimension. This is what he's talking about when he says whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. He's talking about in the spiritual world. There's a whole other kinds of power that is being referenced here as well. And it says all things were created through him and for him. So everything that we just talked about, the galaxies and everything, were created for who? So he could stare at them? So he could watch them, you know, and be fascinated by the explosions and things like that? And I don't think so. I think there's a greater purpose. And we've talked about this many times. It's not our purpose this morning. But how many know God has a plan for the entire universe? It's throughout Scripture. His original plan in that we read about in the book of Genesis was cut short because of sin. But I firmly believe that reading all of Scripture and putting it all together and seeing how God, the Bible says, is going to recreate the new heavens and a new earth. Anytime it says heaven, it's not talking about, in that instance, when it talks about heaven, it's not talking about where God lives. It's talking about the universe. Heavens in Scripture is often used as a universe. So when it says heaven, where God lives, doesn't need to be recreated. So when he says he's going to recreate a new heavens and a new earth, he's talking about a new universe and a new earth. I mean, when you look out in the universe, it doesn't take you long to figure out that it's not in line with God's order and structure. First of all, the Bible says that in God is light and there is in him no darkness at all. When you look out in the universe, it's mostly just darkness. Everywhere you look, it's just darkness. There's like rocks crashing into each other. I mean, you want to know the fastest way to die? Just go out in the universe. It won't take you a few seconds. You freeze to death, burn up, get killed by radiation, you know, hit by an asteroid, something. It won't take you long going out there. But imagine if the creative power of God and his plan was extended to all the universe. What if what we see here on earth was originally intended to be every part of every planet and every solar system and every galaxy? So I think God has a bigger plan than most of our minds have comprehended or thought about, but the Bible says that he plans to recreate the entire heavens and the new earth. What else did you think we were going to be doing for all of eternity? You know, and plus I thought whenever Adam and Eve were on this planet, and we read about it in the book of Genesis, that there were different trees in the garden, and one of the trees in the garden was the tree of life. And whenever they sinned, God said, we need to remove them from the garden so that they don't eat from the tree of life and then live forever with this sin nature. That would be a big problem. So it says they removed the tree of life, which would have caused them to live forever. Well, being that he'd already given them the instruction to be fruitful and multiply, talking about creating sons and daughters and families, and then everybody's going to live forever, how many know we would have already overran this earth, population-wise? So I think God has plans for the universe, and you look out and people think, oh, well, what's all that out there for? I promise you there's a reason, and there's a purpose, and there's a plan, and God created it all. That's not what we're getting into this morning, but what we really need to know from verse 16, again, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, and all things were created through him and for him. What this means as we take in all of Scripture, Christ will inherit and has inherited all of this, and he will rule and reign over all of it. Christ will rule and reign over all of creation, over everything that we see. There is, I think sometimes our minds think so small when we think about this. We think that he will just rule over the earth, but no, he will rule over all of creation. And that's a time that is coming. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Think about that. We don't have time to get into what's holding your body together this morning and what's at the very base and root of every atom and every cell that's holding this whole thing together. But we get a clue in Scripture that he is before all things and in all things that he holds them together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So now we're getting a picture of what it was like when Jesus was walking on this earth. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Colossians 2:9 tells us a similar thing. It says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Are you getting an idea of who Jesus is and the power that he has? And it's not just power, it's also authority. And when we think about power from a normal human context, we think of it in those aspects. Power is not just physical strength. Power might include influence. Power might include authority. Power might include the ability to get things done from a political standpoint. So power, yes, every form of power, but also rule and authority. Now, what is amazing to us and what Scripture sort of stands in awe of is how Jesus laid this power and authority down when he came to earth. It's really one of the things that the Scripture teaches us qualified him to be and inherit all things, to be the heir and inherit all things. But he set all of that aside. You think about him being the one that created all things, that all things were created for him, including us. And he lays that down and comes to earth, and then what? He's rejected by men, spit on, crown of thorns, beard pulled out, beat with whips, tortured, crucified by his own creation. The story, we've heard it so many times that we kind of nod, yeah. But this is an unbelievable act of love and kindness and mercy. That the one who created all things that were created for him, who has rule and authority over all things, left that realm, laid those things aside, and came to earth as one of us to sacrifice for us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through him, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And look at this, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, if you read this one way, you could interpret it to mean that he's continuing to hold up the universe by the word of his power, but that's not what he's talking about. It's talking about that when it was spoken once and for all, that original spoken word continues to hold the entire universe up by the word of his power. That original phrase, let there be light, and there was, continues to be what holds up the entire universe. That is the power of God that was demonstrated. That is the power of God that Jesus Christ walks in. Hebrews 11:3, later on in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Well, right there, that contradicts all of what they try to teach us in science, right? Well, what, you know, you always take it back to the beginning. All right, well, there was a Big Bang. Okay, well, what caused that? Well, there was some dust, you know, that was swirling around. Okay, where'd that dust come from? I don't care how small you make it. It had to come from somewhere, right? And so we try to, but look at what this said. The scripture tells us right here, what is seen, what we can see with our eyes, was not made out of things that are visible. So he says, you're going down the total wrong track to try and figure out where all this came from by looking at the created stuff, thinking that the stuff created itself. That's a big wrong direction that you're going there. He says, no, what is seen was made out of things that are unseen, meaning it came from another realm. God, Jesus, they live in a different dimension. And the words of God were spoken and created this dimension. And they are not things that are seen, but it was created by the word of God. So we could say, with that line of thinking, we could say that there is nothing more powerful in the universe than the word of God. I mean, think about it. When God spoke, every amount of power that we've ever seen or talked about this morning was created by his words. Not only was it created, the scripture tells us it was so powerful that it is continuing to hold everything together and uphold it all by the word of his power. So we could say there's nothing more powerful in the universe than the word of God. And then when we think about it like that, and we think about what the Bible is, what do we have? The scripture is the written word of God that we carry in our heart and we carry in our lives. Listen, the power of God that came through the words of Jesus and the words of God when he said, "Let there be light," the word of God that we have in the scripture is no less powerful than that. They are the same words of God. And guess what? They carry the same power. Now, the scripture tells us this in the book of Hebrews. It says that the word of God is alive and active. So what would happen when a person by faith who understands what we're talking about this morning, what happens when you take the words of God and you speak them over your life or over your situation? What happens when you find scripture in the Bible that speaks over areas like your marriage or your kids or your health, and you speak the words of God over those things? That's a lot different than just praying and begging God to do something, okay? Not saying nothing wrong with prayer and asking. The Bible says make our requests known, but the word of God also teaches us that the word of God is a sword that is powerful, and that we're to wield that sword as a weapon. No, your words are not powerful, but what about when you speak the words of God over that situation? What about when you begin to speak God's words over those situations, and we can see the power of God come that way into situations as well? The word of God is filled with the very words of God. Every word in our Bible was spoken by God and directed by the Holy Spirit. And when we digest them into our spirit, we take the words of God. This is why the scripture tells us literally to feed on them. Okay, when you digest the word of God into your mind, into your heart, it is changing you. It is changing you. There's only one process that I believe can truly heal, wash, and restore a person's mind and their heart, and it is digesting and ingesting the word of God. When you take in the word of God and you listen to it, you put it on your car while you're driving to work, and you put it while you're getting dressed, and you read it in the mornings, and you're filling your mind with the word, you got to understand the amount of power that you're ingesting and that you're taking in. Now, if your faith is down here, because everything that we receive from God is by faith. That's why this morning what we're talking about is meant to elevate our faith. But when we believe that about the power of the words of God, it's going to bring that power into our lives. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I guess my mom and my dad, I guess they understood this principle because it seemed like every dull moment there was the Word of God playing at some point. And at that time, when we were kids, we would ride in the car, and there was always a sermon or something playing in the car. I mean, and at that time, there were these little ministries that had stuff for kids, and so there was a ministry called Dan and Louie, and Dan was like a pastor, and Louie was a little puppet, and this is all audio. We couldn't see it. And they would play they would tell everybody, they told every Bible story, and we'd hear it dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and we never got tired of listening to it over and over and over. And we would hear the power, we would hear the Word of God going forth. And then at night, she would put on preaching tapes of you know, actual pastors and people preaching that, and it would play both sides over and over. And I'd fall asleep every night listening to that. And, you know, in one way, it might train you when you start hearing preaching to fall asleep. So later in life, I had to overcome that. But it's like, oh, that soothing preaching voice, nodding off just a little bit. But I was ingesting the Word of God all of the time. Now, I didn't really come to Christ. I didn't really have an experience with God where I came to Christ until I was later a teenager. But I noticed this. And this was one of the things that blew my mind the most. Before I got saved, if you had asked me something about the Scripture, I mean, I could have said a few little things, you know, from memory or whatever. But the moment I got saved and I turned my life to God, I could not believe all of the Word that was in me that just came to life. And like it exploded on the inside of me. I couldn't believe that it had all been stored and just hidden in my heart. And sometimes it's like that, right? You're listening to the Word, you're reading the Word, you feel, oh, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, oh, I zoned out. Listen, that just never underestimate the power of just taking in the Word. Taking in the Word. I don't care. Have it playing while you're cleaning your house. Have it playing while you're doing this. You go, well, I didn't get it all. Well, get what you can. Let it come in little pieces then. Because I promise you it's going to be better than anything else you're listening to. Let it come in. Let it change your mind. Let it change your heart. If you want to truly change and you want to see the power of God come into your life and revolutionize some things in your life, I challenge you to increase the amount of Word that you are taking into your life. You can play it on the Bible app. You can listen to sermons. You can listen to podcasts. But go through a time of feeding where you're just ingesting the Word of God and look at how it will change you and transform you. I've seen this happen even in my own teenagers' lives. Last scripture I want to read this morning, John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's talking about Jesus. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Listen, there is tremendous power available to you and to us through our God. There are no limits of the amount of power that He has. The question is, are we going to do the work to learn how to access that power in our own lives and in our own families, and to be able to take that in and let us change? It sure would be a shame if every one of us in this room that have access to the Bible and the Word of God, it sure would be a shame if that power that's available just stayed in that book and never made it out into here. That would be a shame, with it just sitting right in front of our face. So let's access the words and the power of God. Let's access that. Let's pursue it. Let's bring that into our lives. Amen.